I love podcasts, but I could never find one that covered the things I wanted to hear about in a way that I wanted to hear them covered. So I created my own. This is Commentary. Good moment, America. How are you? My name is Terry. That's why I call the show Commentary. Thank you for joining me again. This show, as always, is my show, my rules, my way. I talk about the things I want to hear about in a way I want to hear about it, and I don't hold anything back. America, let's get right to it. Okay, America, breaking news. The President of the United States is a fucking moron. No, that's it. That's really all there was. I didn't have anything else. And it's not really breaking news, but every once in a while, I think we all need to be reminded that the White House plant is probably the single biggest idiot in any government, anywhere, anytime. And by the way, I'm including Justin Trudeau. Now that that's out of the way, America, I hope everybody is doing fantastic out there. I hope everybody is having a great week. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we came up with an episode. We've been very busy over here at the Tarrant and 1975 Productions trying to put together a whole bunch of new content for everybody out there. We're trying to revamp the way that we do things on the Tarrant, which, by the way, is the new name for terrywilkerson.com. If you have not been there yet, the original site name will redirect you, www.terrywilkerson.com, but of course you can also get there via www.theterrant.com. And don't forget to check out our new comic strip that we have up on the website, Cotton Gray Man versus the World, where Cotton Gray Man, a very old, knowledgeable, intelligent fellow, devastatingly handsome, and based pretty much completely on me if I had long hair, helps the world understand why everybody out there is stupid. It's a bit of a politicized, satirical, but comedic comic strip all in one. And so far, the reaction that we have received has been fantastic. It's a nice little project that we're doing, and we are happy to have Cotton Gray Man and Cotton Gray Man Against the World with us and part of our news site. As always, don't forget to check that out at theterrant.com. We've also been working on some, this one I actually was working on earlier, kind of a little side project for the Rumble page for the Tarrant. As you are well aware, America, I was born and raised in North Jersey of very deep South influence. I was raised by two Depression-era Southern parents and picked up quite a bit of that Southern attitude, that Southern outlook on life. I mean, as far as leave me the hell alone. Yes, it's a kind of an isolationist attitude, but the whole leave me the hell alone with my moonshine and my sweet tea. And believe me, I love nothing more in the world than a good glass of sweet tea. I got one sitting right here. And for the record, too many people put way too much sugar in the sweet tea. You should just taste the sugar. It shouldn't be overpowering. I also picked up, of course, you know, the love of Southern food, which is why I'm sitting here on a chair that is screaming for help. But my point being, I have these two major influences, and I've been lucky to have been able to be raised up in both of those influences. The growing up in the shadow of New York City in the 1980s and 1990s, when the Yankees dynasty was building, when the Rangers finally won a Stanley Cup, you know, when you could get to Rutt's Hut, you could get over the river over to Coney Island and go down for the day and not have to fear for your life. I mean, New York City itself wasn't the best growing up, but you did what you could. And it was just a great time for me to grow up in general. But then, of course, when the summer would come around and I would be shipped off down south to everywhere from the Carolinas into Alabama and actually was in Texas for a little while and Wyoming for a little while. And it's weird, by the way, I've come to find out that maybe four or five people in my family remember my kind of being shipped off pretty far out. Those are great experiences. I loved every minute of it. I'm happy to have had those experiences. So I have those two influences, and I wouldn't trade either one for anything. So what I've come up with was, we just recently launched on our Rumble channel a video from a series I'm calling... The first video actually has the name Being from Jersey but Having Southern Roots. And I'm coming up with a different title for this particular series, but the first one, you're going to enjoy it very much. It's on our Rumble channel. It's even up on the Tarrant Media page. The two sides of me realizing what season it actually is as it pertains to sports. Don't forget to check that out. So, as I say, I've been kind of busy and still working that full-time job 50 hours a week. And generally trying to enjoy life. Got over a pretty bad head cold for a while there. I had it, and I finally got over it. I didn't get over it for a while there, although that does make sense, doesn't it? It takes you a while to get over these things, so yeah, you got over it for a while. And here we are, we're back in the bunker, ready to talk to you, America. We've already established the fact that the President of the United States... the resident of the United States, more to the point, the White House plant is a fucking idiot. If you're just joining us for the first time, prepare for more F-bombs than you heard during a single Sopranos episode, because that's just how I am. All right, America, let's see what's been going on in the country in the time we've been away.
What's up, Doc?
Well, first off, we have to mention that last week was the anniversary of one of the more disgusting overreach of government authority in our history. It was the beginning of the siege at Waco, which, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that I am... this is a very personal issue for me, because it was the first time that I really started to see... This and Ruby Ridge were the first two times I really started to see the true depth and evil of the government. It just took me far too long to really understand just how bad a centralized government will be, no matter what. All centralized governments will end up being tyrannical. So, as we all know, the Branch Davidians were... you could call them a cult. I'm not going to sit here and say they weren't, but... the Branch Davidians were a religious sect in Texas, in Waco, Texas, led by David Koresh. And he actually ousted a previous leader. He was basically voted out by the members of the sect. And he then went to the Attorney General of the United States, Janet Reno, a vile, horrible human being, and lied about the possession of guns and the mistreatment of children. There has been no evidence ever unearthed, ever, that David Koresh mistreated any child or that he was a polygamist. None. What this ultimately came down to was the ATF and the FBI got together and they got a warrant against the Branch Davidians and their compound because of this scumbag rat's testimony. It was... basically alleged that the leaders of the Branch Davidians failed to pay a $200 tax on an assault rifle. And of course, as we know, they went in and they murdered, I believe it's 65 innocent American citizens. And I only found out recently that you always hear about the four federal agents who died during the siege. Three of them were bodyguards for Bill Clinton when he was running for president. I just found this out, and this blows my mind, knowing that, Jesus Christ, I mean, we all know Bill Clinton is a corrupt son of a bitch. We all know he is part of one of the largest crime families in American history. And now that I know that these agents who were They were his bodyguards while he was running for president. And then just mysteriously, they get put on this ATF FBI raid, and mysteriously they're killed. I mean, I watched the video, and I still want to know who commissioned a video of the raid. I'm fairly certain it's so that Janet Reno can relive everything, so she could relive everything and I won't even be that disgusting, but so she can relive everything and just smile at what she did. But I watched the video, and I watched these three men enter the second floor window of this building, and there was no bullets. There's no fucking bullets flying anywhere. Nobody is shooting out at these agents, but they're definitely shooting in. And these three agents who go in and get murdered happen to be agents from Bill Clinton's detail when he was running for president. Compare that with the nearly 100 suspicious deaths that Hillary Clinton herself can be tied to. And believe me, America, this is an evil, evil family. So if you have never searched, if you've never done any research whatsoever on the Waco massacre, and it was a massacre, it wasn't an invasion, it wasn't a siege, it was a massacre. It was in United States federal troops massacring American civilians who just wanted to be left the fuck alone. If you've never investigated this, I remember watching the whole damn thing live on television. If you've never investigated it, stop what you're doing. Stop this podcast. Stop everything. Go out and just look up. Even if you look up the Wikipedia version, and we all know Wikipedia is a shitty news source. Go look it up. This is something every American needs to have burned into their brain. Same thing with Ruby Ridge. Now, other major to minor news stories over the past week. A father who, this is just disgusting, a father of a five-year-old child beat to death the man who raped his five-year-old child. I can't even really say those words out loud, America, but the father beat him to death and he will not face charges. I wasn't aware that was an option. I mean, him facing charges. I wasn't aware that anybody would even think about putting him in a situation where he would go to jail. I would have probably not just beaten him to death, but I probably would have done it publicly and then paraded the guy's lifeless body. There are very few crimes a human being can commit that are quite as horrific as harming a child. Especially a five-year-old child. And I'm sorry, I understand due process, I understand the law. I work in the legal industry. But if you harm, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, a five-year-old child, your due process is, you better process your fucking way out of town as fast as possible. You better find somewhere in the middle of the woods that you can't be found, because when you are found, and inevitably, what happens to this guy happens to you, you deserve every goddamn second of it. And by that, I mean you deserve thousands of seconds of pain and torture and hurt and terror. It was a five-year-old child. This man should not only not be charged, this man should get a fucking statue. All right, speaking of statues, Mitch McConnell will be stepping down as the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate. I didn't even know he was a leader. I didn't even know Mitch McConnell was still sentient enough to be considered a politician. But thank God he is stepping down. And I think we can all just breathe a little bit better, knowing that maybe the Republican Party, the only major party out of the two that has any chance of ever being redeemed. I mean, the Republicans and the Democrats are both scumbags. They're both shit parties. But the Republican Party maybe can be saved. I don't even know that the Libertarian Party, which is the real hope in this country, I don't even know that it can be saved, because it has become so fractured. I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. And finally, if you have not heard the name Laken Riley yet, it's another one you need to stop right now and go look up. Laken Riley was a college student in Atlanta, Georgia, murdered by an illegal immigrant. Murdered by an illegal immigrant. Let me say that one more time for those of you in the back. Murdered by an illegal immigrant. not a migrant, not an undocumented alien, no, an illegal immigrant. And he didn't unalive her, he murdered her. Stop with the fucking newspeak. George Orwell warned us of this and nobody wanted to listen. And this is what they're doing. They're using that newspeak to completely confuse us. Well, nobody's confused in this. Lakin Riley, an American citizen, born and raised, was murdered by an illegal immigrant. That is the end of that fucking story. Stop adding words to it. We'll be back in one moment with more commentary. Absolutely send lawyers, guns, and money, because I have had an issue lately with my refrigerator. And with a little bit of research on the interwebs, it turns out that this particular model of refrigerator is defective and faulty for everybody who owns it. And it's the same problem, and it's the same continuous fucking issue with this particular model. And what's worse is this model is also comprised of the same parts of about four or five other models of refrigerators that are being sold to the general population by companies like Best Buy. And I don't know the legality, so I'm not going to push my luck. But let's just say it. The name of this particular company shares the same as a body of water that spins around. So we've had this problem. Our refrigerator has been at 60 degrees for about a week now. You know how hard it is to store anything? And it's, you can't store anything in a 60-degree refrigerator. You can't. The freezer, thank fuck, still works, but the refrigerator itself is just, it's absolute garbage. I've had to throw away tons of food, most of which is stuff that I had personally prepped or canned or in some way, shape, or form, I had made these dishes and ended up having to throw them out. And it not only pisses me off because I'm wasting money, but I put time and effort into this. And this company, when you can finally get them on the goddamn phone, they will tell you flat out, well, you know, we can't reimburse you for lost food. Well, then what the fuck is a warranty for? I get it. It's for the parts on the refrigerator. But if I could prove that your default, your faulty product cost me hundreds of dollars in food, you're goddamn right they should have to replace it. But that's neither here nor there. We fought with them for 3 or 4 days before we finally got them to admit that they had to send somebody out to look at it. And they did. But here's the thing. They claimed there was no service technician in our general area. Now, mind you, I live in the Philadelphia metro region. You're going to tell me there is no spinning body of water certified repairman in our area. And that's what they kept saying. No, that, well, unfortunately, there is none. Well, it turns out there are. There are plenty. But it appears that the neighborhood I live in might be a little bit too rough for these people. And that is a load of absolute bullshit. Look, I live in this neighborhood. I've heard the reputation that it has. I don't think it's that bad, at least not my street. But because somebody somewhere gives it a reputation, all of a sudden, Spinning Body of Water Incorporated doesn't want anything to do with it. And then they lie and try to say, well, there's no contractor around there. We'll have to find a subcontractor. Well, we found the subcontractor. He came out. And by the way, the parts to the fridge should be coming in this week. I'll keep you guys updated. Yes, I actually will. But it's America. This is disgusting because this is how we end up with all of this racism bullshit flying around. Because people get this in their head that certain neighborhoods are just bad news. And there are certain neighborhoods in the country that no walking, breathing human being should ever go near. That is absolutely true. But we end up giving neighborhoods reputations just so, just because. We end up giving neighborhoods and people reputations. That way, the people who are in control of things can stay in control of things. If they tell you, oh, you shouldn't be in, you know, Scott and Dandenville. I don't know where Scott and Dandenville is, but we're going to use it as a name. You shouldn't be in Sector 5 of Scott and Dandenville. It's a bad place. Well, how is it a bad place? It's just a bad place. This is the great example of how the media and marketing and our government, both local and federal, have such a grasp on the narrative. And if we stop giving them control of the narrative and start standing up for ourselves and for our communities, look, I'll stand up and say, like I said, my street is not bad. My community, it's loud because, you know, people around here are rambunctious and they're buoyant. I mean, we're near water, so sure, why not? I'm not a loud outside party guy myself, but the people in the area are. It's not malicious, it's just who they are. But they would, their actions, their way of life is decried by others who either want one, who either want to have a neighborhood basically cordoned off as being a bad place, or two, they want to cause internal division. That's our entire problem in this country with all of the oh, that's racist, that's racist, that's racist, that's sexist, that's this, that's that. The whole thing, America, is we have a government who's working with the media and big tech, collectively known as the party, who are working overtime to divide our country, to divide the people, because they know if we the people were to stay unified, if we the people were to work together, then they, the government, are absolutely screwed. Because we would put them all out on their asses before they could say, appropriations bill. So it's funny how even something as seemingly casual as a warranty claim on a refrigerator can be a great example of just how badly we are falling for the fake division created by the party. And America, this is the type of shit we need to put an end to, and I mean like yesterday. Hey, did you go and check out the Carrot Top's Rule page on YouTube or Twitch yet? No? What the hell are you waiting for? You like gingers, right? I mean, you don't hate gingers. You're not anti-ginger, are you? Look, go check out the Carrot Top's Rule gaming page on YouTube and Twitch. It's a great little independent gaming page, and we all know here at the Tarrant, we love independent content creators. The vast majority of the page is dedicated to Fortnite, which I'm told is a video game. I don't know. I'm still playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. But go and check him out, and as always, support independent content creators. Carrot Top's Rule on YouTube and the Twitch. And I'm told he's on TikTok as well, but I don't even know how the hell to log into that. Carrot Top's Rule, because they do. We just have to get to that point, America, where we stop allowing the party to divide us. It's been that way for hundreds of years. From the dawn of what we look at as our centralized government, it has been the same thing. Look, I have my favorites in the past. You know, I'm a Teddy Roosevelt guy. Sorry, Teddy Roosevelt. I'm being told recently that no, that's not how it's pronounced, even though, never mind. But I'm a Teddy Roosevelt guy. I'm a Ronald Reagan guy. But they had their missteps and they did things that ultimately didn't work out for the country. No government in history is ever for the people. No matter what we can say in a document, it's never for the people, because it's always for the people who run it. People in power will always stay in power, and the only way to get them out of power is to deny them power. And we have to stop the divide. Let me explain this to you. I don't give a rat's ass if you're white, black, Asian, Spanish, Martian, straight, bi, gay, doesn't matter. And yes, I intentionally stopped there because this rainbow spectrum has gotten way out of hand, and I'll get to that at another time. We have to stop letting the party divide us, and we have to hold the party accountable for all of the money that they're receiving from special interest groups who force that ideology upon us. Just fucking stop. Make it stop, America. The only way it's going to stop is if we stop it. What did Morgan Freeman say when he was asked how to end racism? He said to stop talking about it. All right, America. You know, we like to talk here at the Tarrant about preparedness, survival, self-reliant living. Well, today, for our Galt and Grace segment, we're going to talk about your car as it pertains to your EDC. First thing off the top of your head is, well, I drive a blank. That's good. If that's the first thing you're thinking of in this conversation, that's good. That's exactly the mindset I want you to be in. I own a very small sedan. Is it a great bug-out vehicle? Absolutely not. But it's a vehicle that I own. And, you know, the best tool is the one you have right in front of you. So, as always, when you're looking at a vehicle as an adjunct to your EDC, and you could consider your vehicle a part of your EDC, if you drive to work, I mean, I take public transportation. I did drive to work for years. So you could consider it a part of your EDC. But when you leave the house, it doesn't matter what type of neighborhood you live in. It doesn't matter if you live on top of a mountain, on top of a hill, in a valley, in a city, in the suburbs. It doesn't matter. There are still certain things you need to have in that car at all times. Now, you know full well you need to have your spare tire. You need to have your jack. That's just common sense. You should always have a spare canister of fuel in your car. But what about after that? What else do you want? Well, I think most vehicles nowadays, when you buy them, they're equipped with something resembling a med kit. Something at least passable as a med kit. It'll have maybe some Band-Aids in it or something like that. But it will be in your car, and if it's not, just go out to Walmart, buy one of the $15, $20 kits, keep it in your trunk. I know, you know, well, it's not, I can't find it. Well, out of sight, out of mind, for one thing. Number two, you want that in the place where you think you would least need it, because you don't want to have to use a medical kit out of the trunk of your car, but if you do have to use it, you want it to be there. So you always want that little med kit. I also keep a bug-out bag in my car, obviously. But you also want to keep a small survival kit of some form, containing some of the most basic possible survival items. I'm talking about, you know, your space blankets. I'm talking about a whistle, a compass, some form of items that fit the Dave Canterbury's 5 C's. Cutting, cordage, combustion, cover, and container. You want those in your car at all times. So basically what I'll narrow it down and say what I'm talking about is using your car as a carrier for an adjunct to your EDC. The other thing that people just don't really think about that you should have in your car as part of your car EDC, car DC? No, that's way too close to car DB. Is you should have a seatbelt cutter / window breaker in your car at all times. Now, I have one in my glove box. I also have one on my wrist. My Leatherman Tread has both a carbide nib for breaking glass, and it has a seatbelt cutter in it. I've used that cutter for cordage. I have not yet had to use it for a seatbelt, so I'm not certain what the actual efficacy would be in an emergency situation of the tread for cutting the seatbelt, but I trust Leatherman. I trust that it would work. I know I've used the carbide glass breaker because that's always fun, and that works just fine. So I always have it on my wrist, but I also always have one in my console, or at this point in time, it's actually in my glove box. Because America, you know, when it comes to EDC, the rule is two is one is none. And my rule is always one is not, two is one is none, three for me. I always like to have the backup to the backup to the backup, which I guess would technically be four, but you get the idea. So think about the type of car that you own. If you own a four-wheel drive, you're kind of a step up in terms of using it for a bug-out vehicle or for using it to just get through an emergency situation. If, like myself, you drive a tiny-ass little sedan that, matter of fact, just yesterday I floated across the street because there was flooding from the rain and didn't know the flooding was there, and I just kind of floated and enjoyed myself. I couldn't quite bring myself to put on Christopher Cross. I probably at that point would have had to have driven into a building. But I enjoyed it. And, you know, fortunately, I know how to drive safely enough that I didn't spin out and I didn't get stuck. So if you have that kind of car, then obviously you're not going to be able to use it in the same terrain as you would a 4x4 truck or an all-wheel drive vehicle. Like my son keeps telling me to buy. He thinks, my son keeps pushing the fact that Subarus, in his mind, are the best American-made car, and he knows a lot more about cars than I ever will. So thanks, bud. I'm sure one day, if I can ever pay off this car, we'll be looking into a Subaru. You have your car, you know what kind of vehicle you have, you know what its capabilities are. That's important. Knowledge is always a huge part of EDC, and it's even bigger a part of owning a vehicle. Know all about your car. Know what its uses are. Know what its limitations are. Know what you have in that car. And by the way, you can't just throw shit in your trunk and walk away and forget about it. Seasonally, you have to go through your backpack or your bag or your trunk, whatever container you have all this stuff in. Seasonally, you have to go through everything and make sure that everything is still in working order and that everything that you have is up to date, not broken, not rusted, nothing untoward, which basically means working order. And you have to make sure that if you use those Band-Aids, you know, make sure you didn't accidentally spill a bunch out on the street. And if you did, don't forget to buy more. It's always a matter of that ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure. That's why I think spreadsheets are great for everything. Spreadsheets, specifically, you know, Excel, if I can use that brand name on this. It's great for keeping track of everything that you have everywhere. One of the rules that I try to live by is always know how many pencils you have on your desk. And that's another thing, America. We're going to be doing a series very shortly. I have a set of rules that I have put together over the years. Soon we're going to be actually presenting those rules and talking about them and how they can be utilized in a real-world scenario. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. So that's how you can use your car as an adjunct to your EDC, to your everyday carry. Always be prepared. Always keep your mind prepared, first and foremost, and then the rest will follow. We'll be back with our last segment here for this week on commentary in just a moment. And we are back. Of course, it is time for Tarant Sports. And the biggest thing that I can sit here and talk to you about right now as a lifelong wrestling fan. And by the way, I do have to just start out. Okay, I said the only thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. The entire wrestling industry seems to have taken a nosedive to me. And I understand that it is bigger than it's ever been. The industry is bigger than it's ever been. It's making more money. It's reaching more people. And to me, that is a huge problem. I think the wrestling industry is losing its way. I certainly think WWE has lost any sense of the direction that it ever had. I really do. With pay-per-views in Australia and France and Saudi Arabia, the average American fan, you know, the one who helped build the base of WWE, isn't going to be awake for that, isn't going to get up, because some of us have to actually work real jobs. And I think they just pander way too much nowadays to the international crowd. Look, you began in New York City. You began as an East Coast company. Maybe WWE, and I get it now, they're owned by Endeavor. They're owned by, they're part of the TKO sports brand. I get it, you're owned by a massive corporation now. I honestly think that the people in charge of the company, like Nick Khan and Triple H, need to stop and take a look at what they're doing to their existing fan base. You've heard me say this a million times if I've said it once. When you pursue a new fan base at the expense of the existing fan base, the ones who brought you to the dance, that's not growth. That's spitting in the face of everybody who helped make you who you are. And you're never going to get new fans to stick around for any longer. This is the TikTok generation. You're never going to get new fans to stick around very long. So instead of focusing on somebody who's not going to give a shit in a year, why don't you stick around and try to please the people who've been with you for 40 years? But I digress. The icon, Sting, will be having his final match this Sunday. As a matter of fact, I believe they're in preparation for it as I am recording this episode. I'm recording it on Sunday. So Sting will be in a tag team match tonight with Darby Allin against the Young Bucks. It is his retirement match. This could go a million different ways, but knowing Sting and his loyalty to the business, he's going to do the honors. So you pretty much know the Young Bucks are going to go over. Question is, will Darby turn on him to cause the pinfall? I don't know. I personally, if it's me, if I'm Tony Khan, well, first of all, I'd have a lot more money and probably would have a better car. But if I'm Tony Khan, I book it straight down the line. I book it as a straight pinfall loss. Sting eats the pin. Obviously, he's not going to be able to take a Meltzer driver or a best Meltzer ever. But if I'm Tony Khan, then Sting eats the pin, goes out on his back the way he's supposed to do. He does the honors. And, of course, the crowd explodes for him afterwards, and you have 5, 10, 15 minutes of Sting in the ring, teary-eyed, thanking everybody. And who knows, you might even have your very first AEW Hall of Famer. Everybody else has got a Hall of Fame. Why not AEW? So, Sting, I've not been his biggest fan over the years. I admit that. Surfer Sting was cool for me for like 15 minutes. The Crow Sting was cool for like a year. I think the Joker Sting is still the best incarnation of his character. So I'm not going to sit there and say I was always the biggest fan, but I appreciate everything Sting has done for the business, everything Steve Borden has done for the business. I appreciate it. Not his biggest fan, but man, I respect the hell out of him for everything he's done, and I respect the hell out of him for coming back from a career-ending injury. Anybody who could do that. Anybody. I'm not a huge Christian fan, but I respect the fact that he was able to come back. Daniel Bryan, Edge, obviously a huge fan of both. And I just said Daniel Bryan. I haven't said Daniel Bryan in years. Bryan Danielson, Adam Copeland, big fan of both. They did the same thing. Sting is going out tonight, and he's going out in a blaze of glory. So I'll just say for myself, and I know there's millions of fans who agree with me, thank you, Sting, for everything you've done. Thank you, and enjoy whatever the next phase of your career is. You've earned it. All right, we are going to finish up this episode with a little bit of a read from John Wayne Gritt, Daily Inspiration and Frontier Wisdom for Men. If you haven't listened to the show before, or if you're not even familiar with the book I'm talking about, because we don't always do this, it's kind of a devotional for John Wayne, but not really. It's a daily reminder of the wit and wisdom of John Wayne. So here we go. Always be prepared. As Sergeant John Stryker in 1949's Sands of Iwo Jima, Duke made it his duty to honor the real heroes of World War II. Having built his troops up to face anything that may come their way, Sergeant Stryker seems as prepared as any man ever could be heading into battle. When he and his squadron faced their toughest task in the form of 20,000 Japanese troops at Iwo Jima, the battle-hardened Sergeant Stryker enters the fray, raring to send the enemy back from whence they came, confident, courageous, and wholly compelled to finish the job. Just as it appears he and his men have emerged from the battle victorious, however, Sergeant Stryker is shot and killed by a sniper. Thanks to his sacrifice, the good guys win the battle, and ultimately due to the sacrifice of so many of our country's real-life heroes, the war. While you and yours may not be facing such dire circumstances at this moment in life, in time, you will find that being as prepared as possible will always be your best shot at success, if not for you, then for someone who depends on you. Sometimes thinking ahead is its own form of heroism, or as the Boy Scouts put it, be prepared. See, we talk about preparation, we talk about stuff like that all the time here on commentary, and John Wayne in the Sands of Iwo Jima, the living example of exactly what it means to be prepared and what it means to act when the occasion arises. America, thanks for always joining me. My name is Terry. It's always a blast being here with you. Please remember until the next time we meet that your rights are not a gift from the government. Rights are absolute and eternal. The moment you allow the government to abridge your right just a little bit, then it becomes a privilege, and a privilege can be taken away. America, stay calm, have courage, wait for signs, and until we see each other next time, have a great day.